In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day. Hello, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and we are continuing our amazing journey through the book of Exodus. We're in Exodus chapter 22, and this is the time where Moses is on the mountain receiving the laws of God. And these laws are designed to guide Israel so that it will be a holy people, that there'll be a light to the nations, that they will turn from sin and turn to God. Now, this chapter we dealt with earlier, stealing property. That was chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Then we dealt with destroying property, verses 5 through 6, and safekeeping property, verses 7 through 15. And then we moved into more about people, and we talked about defiling the daughter, verses 16 through 17. And we're picking up in defiling the person, verses 18 through 20. Now we'll look at next the dignity toward the weak, and then we'll talk about dignity towards authority, gods and rulers. Now, specifically, we're picking up in verse 19. Let me go ahead and read that passage for you. And again, this is all about defiling the person. Verse 19 reads as follows: whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. Now, just that verse alone should bring an element of shock and disgust to you. And yet, this sin is present in our day as it was in the day of the Israelites. In the land of Canaan, this was a practice. A sufficient amount of people were doing this to the point where God had to make a law against it. And look at the language, intense language, the severest of punishments. Now, what's the theological background on this? Because you read this passage and you just be like, let's move on. I don't want to talk about this topic. But it shows you once again the corruption of man, how man takes God's design and flips it and perverts it and destroys it to where all the joy and all the pleasant and all the purpose of it is lost and destroyed. Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. Now, to have dominion does not mean to do this kind of inappropriate behavior. It was to be a steward, loving and kind, caring for the animals, not corrupting them. Leviticus 19:19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. And this whole idea of keeping things pure, it's so important. And in Exodus 22:19, we have this picture. Now, verse 20 carries on. He who sacrifices to any god except to the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. And so we see this connection that this kind of corruption is really the caboose. It's the end product of someone who has abandoned God and his will and his word a long time before. But this is not the only place this command and type of command is mentioned. Leviticus 18:23. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled. You hear that? God is declaring through revelation that this practice was throughout the world. And if you question that, just look around today and don't do searches on this stuff. Don't do that. Don't submit yourself to images like that. It's bad enough we have to talk about this, but this is a reality of what sin does to man. And the land vomits out its inhabitants. In other words, God brings judgment to a people who embrace this behavior. Leviticus 20, verse 15, if a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal, because both are corrupted. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. In other words, The death penalty is necessary, and it's their fault, their choosing of this inappropriate, sinful behavior. And Deuteronomy 27:21 summarizes it all. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people shall say amen. So we can see that God's law is designed to be a hedge, a firewall, a prevention against perversion. That is the purpose of this language. And it recognizes that this perversion exists in the world then as it does now. Now let's move to verse 20. We read it, but let's look more closely at this passage. Verse 20, he who sacrifices to any god except to the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Now, this is within the border and nation of Israel. And this goes back all the way to commandment number one, Exodus 23. You shall have no other gods before me. But I put this here because this is all part of defiling the person. These laws are trying to address the corruption of man, specifically the citizens of Israel. Now, just because you're not a citizen of Israel today doesn't mean that this is not a sin. This is still a sin in God's eyes. Now, how God handles that sin and the consequences may be different because we're not under a theocracy as Israel was, but the sin is still the same and it's corruption. But the great news is you can be forgiven of such sin. Now, Numbers 25:2 tells us this. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Now you may be wondering, what incident is this? Well, the answer is given here in verse 3. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor. That's right. Balaam, the hired prophet who rode the donkey. Balaam went mad and the donkey spoke because the Lord made it possible for the donkey to see the angel with the sword and talk to Balaam. It's one of those passages. But this is their plan. After Balaam pronounced blessings upon Israel because God controlled what he said, the solution to the problem of Baal of Peor was, let's go in and corrupt the people. And that was Balaam's idea as well. And this exactly happened. They did come in and they did corrupt the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. Now, this is a very important understanding of how God is working in Israel and dealing with this kind of sin. God would hold the whole community accountable unless the community held accountable the offenders. Very important. So this connection of you're part of a community, that is a truth that Israel clearly understood. And it's something that we often forget. We're part of a body universal. And when one part of the church sins, all of us suffer because of it. How many of you have tried to witness to an unbeliever and they turn to you and say, no, thank you. I've met Christians and they're hypocrites. It grieves you because you're saying, no, that's not who Christ is. And you want to plead with them and say you're sorry that you ran into someone who did not give you a holy witness to who Christ is. Now, if you run into that situation, my personal advice, this is what I do, is I acknowledge it. I say, yeah, there are a lot of Christian hypocrites, but there's also a lot of people who think they're Christians and are not. And then what I do is I take them back to the Gospels and I say, let me show you who Christ is. He is the one you need to look to understand what true Christianity is. And that is really the best option you have. But acknowledge that reality. Show them that there's some people who pretend to be Christians who are not, and then introduce them to Christ. Now, verse 5 continues on. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. So you can see that this judicial act of being judge, jury, and executioner was delegated to the leaders, and then the leaders dealt with their own people. And indeed, verse 6, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. In other words, he's blatantly sinning in front of Moses and the leaders, who people were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So imagine this. People have been killed for their sin, and then this member in the community parades his sin before all the people. Now, verse 7 shows the response of one particular Israelite, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the high priest, saw it. He rose from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went in after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. Now, let me just put a little disclaimer here. This is not how we deal with sin today in the church. We go to Matthew 18:15 with the word, and we go through the church discipline process. We don't bring out the javelins, okay? Now, continuing on. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Wow. Because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now, the name of the Israelite, and this is important. I want you to understand who these people were, because they weren't just anybody. They were somebody. Now, the name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu, a leader of a father's house among the Simeonites. So this is a leader who is sinning in a public way. And the Midianite woman who was killed was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of his father's house in Midian. Now, you may say, boy, that is just crazy. This Phinehas gets up, grabs a javelin, and just goes in and executes judgment right there. So God affirms that that was the appropriate response for this sin. But let me make a little diversion to the New Testament, because this is significant that these significant leaders of the people had sinned in a public way, and therefore their judgment was public. And the scriptures talk about this, that if a leader has sinned, they are to be publicly rebuked. Do you remember when Peter was compromised, acting hypocritically with the Gentiles and Jews, and Paul basically, in front of everyone, spoke to his face and rebuked him? That was done publicly. And the scriptures teach that when a public leader of the church sins in a significant way, they are to be disciplined, and they are to do it publicly to teach the people to fear. So this is not something unique to the Old Testament, but it's a principle that carries on into the New Testament. Very significant. I don't want you to lose that insight there. So as you can see, this is significant. So as we wrap up today's lesson, I want you to think about this. Number one, how are you living before the Lord individually? But also, how are you living publicly? Is your private life before the Lord the same as your public life before the Lord? I know that we fall short and we need to go to the Lord and confess our sins. We need to keep that sin list short. But more than that, we must be consistent publicly as we are privately. So ask the Lord to help you to confess and turn from sin, and to make sure that your witness before the world and before the church is honorable. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll continue in our journey of Exodus chapter 22, studying the law of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.